Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. I would like to read from the verse number 14 to the verse number 30. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. After the testing in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus is returning back to teach the people, and he returned back in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit was not manifested in the way he walked, in the way he looked at the people, in the way his expression on his face was indicating something. We read here that he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified of all. The fact that he was glorified of all is not necessarily proving that he was teaching in the power of the Spirit. However, because he was teaching in the power of the Spirit, because the Word of God was so clear to him, and when he was preaching something that is completely familiar to him, something that he didn't have to learn on any seminary, any school, or be taught by any man. He was preaching the gospel because he was the living gospel, the living Word of God. When he opened his mouth to teach the people, the power of the Spirit was just pouring out with the truth, the facts, and the presentation of the gospel in such a way that everyone that was seeking salvation by the mercy and grace of the Lord could find that. And so, in that power of the Spirit, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Here we don't see any indication that he was requesting a certain book. It looks like, to me at least, that the books of the Bible were rolled up in scrolls. And one scroll was one book, if the book was one of the larger books, like the book of the prophet Isaiah. And perhaps in one scroll there were two or three small prophetical books or some other books. And here we don't have any indication that he demanded or requested a certain book to be given to him. We read in the verse number 17 that there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So the book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and then in that book he selected a passage that he was going to read. And the passage was about the year of Jubilee. I would like now to move all the way back to the book of Leviticus, and I would like to read chapter 25 from the verse number 8 to the verse number 17, the passage where I think the first time the year of Jubilee was mentioned in the scriptures as a commandment. And it became a law in Israel given by God that should have been obeyed. Leviticus chapter 25 verse 8 and on. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. According to this law, on the year of Jubilee, there should be complete liberty for all the people, that in any way were oppressed or exploited. Now, who were the exploiters and who were the exploited people in Israel? If a man had sickness in the family, and his working power, producing power, was greatly diminished, he might not be able to feed his family that year. In that case, he could sell part of his possession, part of his land, to a wealthy neighbor that was able to buy And then with that money he would feed his family until the time of sickness is over or ended in death. If a man or a family happened to be very poor, they could sell themselves to be slaves of some other wealthy family or landowner in the land of Israel. Or for any other reason that would cause poverty, they could sell themselves or part of their possession, part of their inheritance. And when the year of Jubilee came, the 50th year, everything should stop that was oppressive or that was difficult. That means in the beginning of the 50th year, all the poor people, all the slaves, all those that were deeply in debt were in expectation that year is going to be the year of their liberty. That year the Lord is going to bring to them His mercy and grace in such a measure as it never happened last 50 years. Now, the year 48 was exceedingly fruitful, abundant harvest, abundant crop in their vineyards, in their orchards, in their fields. Everything was so abundant that it took a lot of labor to gather all of that into their storage. And the slaves and the poor people had a lot of work to do. And then came the year 49. And that year 49, there is no sowing, no plowing, no dressing vineyards, no pruning orchards, no harvesting. All that year, 49th year, they were supposed to feed from their fields directly, not out of their storage place. And then, on the 50th year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, it was the Day of Atonement. There would be a great, powerful sound of a trumpet in the city of Jerusalem. And then the news of the beginning of the year of Jubilee would spread throughout the land, from community to community, from town to the village, from city to city, everywhere, from east to the west, from north to the south. All the slaves are packing up their belongings, and their masters, their owners, were supposed to help them, not to let them go empty, but to give them a generous portion of all of their labor, so that the slaves would go back to their families or back on their possession, not empty-handed. They have something to live with. And that joy, the joy of Jubilee, the joy of liberty, the joy of deliverance, was a great joy all through the land of Israel. And now who can tell me, when did that happen in the land of Israel? Never. It never happened. Not even in the days of the King David. Not in the days of King Solomon, not in the days of King Josiah, or in the days of King Hezekiah, or any of the faithful, most faithful kings in Israel. It never happened. They never had sufficient faith and obedience to keep this law, not to work in their fields, not to plow, not to sow. In the year 49 and in the year 50, trusting that the Lord would give them sufficiently fruits, grain, everything from their fields, olives, sufficiently that they would have to eat, they, the people, and their cattle. And I don't know if they had any birds. Their flocks, everything would be well fed until the year number 1. when the new period of 50 years is starting, and they would have enough, not only for their food, but sufficiently of the seed to sow their fields in the year number one. They never trusted the Lord. They never obeyed the Lord. And now, after so long a time, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to the city of Nazareth, and he is reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. As far as I know, there is only one passage in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and that is in the beginning of chapter 61, that sounds very similar to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I notice here in the verse number 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And the Lord Jesus Christ read only the first part of that sentence, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He did not read the day of vengeance of our God, even though we know that he came to comfort all those that mourn, and he did that. But there was one thing that he did not. He did not proclaim the day of vengeance of the Almighty God of Israel. Why he didn't proclaim the day of vengeance? Many years, many centuries, and thousands of years will pass before he come again to proclaim the day of vengeance. Of course, in the land of Israel, upon the people of Judah and Benjamin and the others that were joined to them, the day of vengeance, to some extent, was fulfilled when Jerusalem was destroyed and their nation ceased to exist as a nation. But the real day of vengeance of the Lord our God has not come yet. So the Lord Jesus Christ read only one part of that sentence, only first part of that passage in the book of prophet Isaiah. As I mentioned earlier, the year of Jubilee was never celebrated in the land of Israel. And that year of Jubilee is that acceptable year to the Lord. Why the people of Israel did not celebrate the year of Jubilee? Why they did not keep the Sabbaths of the Lord? In the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen is talking to the congregation, to the rulers of Israel in Jerusalem, and he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." That's why they did not celebrate the year of Jubilee. They resisted the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And now the Lord Jesus himself, the very Son of God, is down here on this earth, and he is proclaiming in his a city where he grew up, where he was brought up as a child, as a boy, as a teenager. Now he is proclaiming, this is the year of Jubilee. The long foretold prophecy of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61 is being fulfilled in this one. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the only one that never had any resistance against the Holy Spirit, against the Spirit of the Lord, because that's His Spirit. That is He Himself, the Lord God of Israel. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and on, the Lord is speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, the Lord is crying loud, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of him shall flow rivers of living water." And here the Lord is in Nazareth. He read the proclamation of that acceptable year that is fulfilled in Christ to all those that trust and obey the Son of God. How are they going to receive Him? They will not. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in hearts and minds, resisting the Holy Spirit, they reject the call. The Lord Jesus read to the citizens of Nazareth the proclamation of the acceptable year of the Lord, and He had not read the day of vengeance of our God, but they have chosen the vengeance anyway. How corrupted the human race is. In the eyes of the people of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus was only Joseph's son. I imagine that Joseph was a quiet man, a meek man, a godly man, a man that was not violent, a man that was not corrupted. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was only Joseph's son, that is nothing in the eyes of the people of Nazareth. They were evil people, and they admired evil things, and they regarded corruption as something that is a privilege. So the Lord Jesus Christ is facing them boldly. He says, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." The Lord is unfolding before them their own thoughts. They were arrogant people, proud people, and yet corrupted people, nothing to be proud of. But they are proud, and they think that the Lord needs their admiration, that the Lord Jesus Christ is craving their recognition, to recognize Him as a prophet, as a man of God. So He should do the miracles and the wonderful things that He did in other places here in Nazareth if He wants them to admire Him. But the Lord needs no admiration of corrupted people. The Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." What is that non-acceptance of a prophet in his own country? I would hope that some prophets were admired by their own family, but many were not. And what is that weakness in the human beings? What would they accept of a prophet that is part of their family? They would like somebody they can be proud of, somebody that will be applauded to by the people around them, someone that will bring some honor to them as his family. But that's not the ministry and the purpose of prophetic ministry. The Lord has given to his prophets a message, and so many times that message is rejected by the people. And now the Lord is going to tell the residents of Nazareth that the Lord God is not depending on the support of the people of Nazareth or any people on this planet. He said to them, "I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias the prophet Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. The Lord can show compassion to anyone. The Lord can have mercy upon anyone. But the Lord does not depend on the human beings. He is not going to be void of His glory and His honor if some people reject Him. That can only hurt the people that are rejecting the mercy and grace of our Lord. Why was Elijah sent to the widow in Sarepta of Zidonians? Because there was no room for him among his own people. There was persecution of the prophets of the Lord. Godlessness was rampant in Israel. And lawlessness or oppression of the wicked rulers was all over the land. So the Lord sent His prophet to a widow in Sarepta of Zidonians, and the goodness of the Lord was revealed to a foreign woman that was not of the people of Israel. I imagine that at this moment, the residents of Nazareth listening in this synagogue are very angry. But the Lord is not stopping here. He is going to give them another example of God's goodness and grace revealed to the strangers, because it had been rejected in the land of Israel. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Why was it so? Because the children of Israel did not seek the goodness and mercy of the Lord. They neglected their God. They destroyed His altars. They persecuted His prophets. They rejected His laws. They were perverted, corrupted, wicked people. And the Lord is presenting this fact to the people of Nazareth. What happened? All they that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Same thing that happened in the days of Elijah. Same thing that happened in the days of Elisha. Same thing that happened to the prophets of the Lord is happening to Him who hath sent the prophets. And they rose up and thrust Him out of the city and led Him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast Him down headlong. As the Lord Jesus Christ did not depend on their support, so He was not endangered in reality by their wrath and their threatening. He, passing through the midst of them, went His way. And so it is today. The mercy and the goodness of the Lord is available. And the Lord Jesus Christ is still preaching and witnessing through His word. Blessed is he who hears and believes and obeys the word of God. To all those that obey Him, He has given the promise of life everlasting.